Hello, everyone. Welcome to Human Spirit Radio Network. This is Jessica, engineering the show for Sarah McCroskey, founder of the Human Spirit Radio Network. Sarah McCroskey is also an expert in energy medicine. Down to earth, with over 15 years of clinical experience, Sarah empowers clients and audiences to fearlessly embrace the arc of human evolution and live their unique spark audaciously, becoming free from conditioning, personally constructed limitation, and physical emotional imbalance. Sarah promotes a living path partnered with spirit, walking her talk with humor, passion, and clear-sightedness. Sarah offers one-on-one sessions by phone, in addition to bringing forth her vision for the Human Spirit Radio Network, to provide free, life-giving content and internet radio broadcasts to a worldwide community. Here's Sarah.
Thank you, Jessica. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for being here. Today, my guest is F.T. Camargo. His book, Shanti and the Magic Mandala, has been receiving awards worldwide in the young adult publishing category. From sacred geometry to sacred sites, from past lives and group dreaming to Atlantis and destiny paths, this book taps into cultures, traditions, ancient architecture, and timelines, as well as ritual magic. It's an interesting and super fun read for adults and young adults alike, a great gift for your teen readers. Shanti and the Magic Mandala is an adventure where fantasy and reality are mingled. The book tells the story of six teenagers coming from all different cultural and religious backgrounds and from different parts of the world who are mystically recruited to form two groups, one in the Northern Hemisphere and one in the Southern. The story begins in Manhattan. Then eventually they gather in Peru and through a single alliance begin a frantic chase for the sacred object that can stop the black magician's final plan. So that's what we're going to be talking about today with author F.T. Camargo. And before we start our conversation, I'd like to just bring us all present and have us do a little bit of an energy grounding so we can all just kind of get here, be on the same page. So if you would just close your eyes and take a few breaths, breathing deep into your body, down into your belly. Wonderful. Just becoming present in your body. And we're just going to use the Gym Self grounding tool that I usually use, the Rose grounding tool. So if you would just imagine in front of you a beautiful red rose, about 10 or 12 inches in front of you. And just give this rose the command to go and collect up your energy any place where you might have left it over the past few hours, past few days. Just collecting up your energy. Wonderful. And then bring that rose back in front of you. And just give it the command to break into a million pieces, returning your energy to you. Just breathe that energy back into your body. All clear. Yeah, returning your energy to you. Good. And then just imagine another rose in front of you, whatever color you prefer. And give this rose the command to just take any energy out of your field, out of your body, that doesn't belong to you. Anybody else's energy that might be in your space, any collective thought forms, anything that doesn't belong to you. And just let it be absorbed into this rose. Wonderful. And then again, just give the rose the command to break into a zillion pieces, returning that energy to whomever it belongs to. Just cleared the positive intent. Just returning that energy to whomever it belongs to. 1, 2, 3. Good. Good. And then just take a few breaths and see. Maybe you're a little more present now. Good. And then just allow yourself to drop an energetic cord from the base of your torso, bottoms of your feet. Just with your awareness, a cord of energy, a line of energy down into the earth. Down past the rocks and the water table, down through the layers of earth, through the magma, all the way down to the crystal core center of this beautiful planet. And with your awareness, just wrap your attention, your make that connection with that center of the earth. Just wrap your cord of energy around that center of the earth and get a nice snug connection there. Wonderful. And with that beautiful connection in place, just return back up through the layers of earth, through the sand and the water and the rock, through the topsoil, up through the structure of wherever you may be, and gently back in through the bottoms of your feet, filling your legs, your belly, your torso, your chest, and your arms and your hands with that beautiful earth energy. What we're made of as we are here in form. Yeah, and just allow your head to fill with the earth energy. And then just imagine a little sprout of energy coming out the top of your head. And again, with your awareness, just allow yourself to float out through the ceiling of wherever you may be, seeking a point of light in the universe, whatever is right for you. So out through the treetops, through the atmosphere, into deep space, past the moon, and connecting with a source of light. It could be the sun. Could be a star. It could be your place of origin in the universe, the multiverse. And just connect in with that source of light. Noticing how it recognizes your energy. Yeah, and once you've made a nice connection there, nice snug connection, then just invite that energy back toward your body, back through space with your awareness, past the moon, into the atmosphere, down past the trees, into the ceiling and of the room you're in. Yeah, and gently back in through the top of your head, just breathing back in that sky energy. Yes. Good. And allowing it to fill your head, down your shoulders, into your hands, into your chest and belly and legs. And allow those two energies to just mingle in your heart, our two steadying principles of earth and sky. Wonderful. And then just imagine that we're all standing in a circle, everyone who's live on this broadcast currently or who might listen in the future. Just imagine all of us in a circle. Yeah, and just allow yourself to connect heart to heart with everyone in the circle, just joining our energy and loving community. Yeah, for the benefit and best wishes for all. Wonderful. Good. And when you're ready, feel free to open your eyes. And now we're here in a whole nother way. Okay. F.T. Camargo, or Fernando, is an Italian Brazilian living in São Paulo, Brazil. An award-winning architect, he also studied arts and media and has an advanced degree in economics and an MBA in e-commerce. He's a vegetarian because of his love for all animals and has been deeply involved in causes for their protection and freedom. He's a world traveler, adventurer, outdoor sports lover, speaks four languages, and has published a travel book, Rio Maravilla. For many years, Fernando has been practicing yoga and meditation and studying the Kabbalah. His exploration of spiritual teachings motivated a commitment to self-development, which in turn created a new path and goal in life. Shanti and the Magic Mandala was born from his inner journey. Published by Lodestone Books, Shanti and the Magic Mandala won the Moonbeam Children's Book Award and recently was selected as the winner of the 2014 London Book Festival in the young adult category. It's available through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and normal book purveyors, and can also be purchased through Fernando's site at www.ftcamargo.com. That's FTCAMARGO.com. His website also has an exciting video trailer for the book. Welcome to Human Spirit Radio, Fernando.
Hi. Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm good. So glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity to be interviewed in such a nice radio program.
Oh, great. That's so, Fernando, tell me, what inspired you to write Shanti and the Magic Mandala?
Yeah, you know, like, I think my inspiration, born in, like, with my spiritual path around 7 years ago, I was an architect and I wasn't feeling well. I was professionally very well. I was doing very well in project and everything, but I was feeling empty inside. So I decided in that year that I was time to change and to look inside of me and to try to find a new purpose in my life, to try to understand what I was doing here in this place, in this planet, and starting to asking for answers for my life. Because, like, as an architect, it was everything in the physical world was perfect, but everything was, like, about external things. And my personal life was a kind of empty. So, and even when I was like a boy, I always had questions about, like, what I was doing here, what is all about this. And then I decided to study and pass through many different spiritual schools, traditional. And then when I started to, I studied Hinduism. I did a voluntary work in Yogananda, in his center in São Paulo. And then I started yoga, practicing yoga, and then meditation. And all these things start to cause a big impact in myself, and I start to feel completely different. And I start to understand, I start to get some insight about the purpose to be here, and also I start to study the Kabbalah, and I think all these studies and all these experiences, because I think like it's not about studies, I think like spirituality is something to experience, right? And all this starts to change my life a lot, and I decided that I would like to have a new purpose and in which I could share with others and also to share my experience and my new ideas about life, about the planet. So doing a meditation just after, I had a big insight, a kind of vision, and that was like, this was like 3 years ago. And that was time, and then I could express myself writing. So some images start to come in my mind, and then I start to writing about Shanti, and the story start to come in my mind, and also I start to do different studies in different areas that I would like to use in the same book, in the same plot, such as sacred geometry, Hindu mythology, mythology from Peru, and African religions, white brotherhood, many, many different subjects and areas that I found very interesting to bring in the same plot, like in a multicultural story.
Yes. You really weave together so many things, and yet you don't. It's not just like a mere mention of something. You know, you really pull in the energy and the wisdom of these different traditions. I thought it was really well done. Why did you feel compelled to write a book for teens and young adults? Is there a reason with that?
Yeah, I think I would love to write a book which I would be amazed to read. And also, I think I read a lot when I was a boy, and I always traveled in my own story, like if I was there, you know, like participating in the plot, in the places, exchanging experience. And also, an important point, I think the young people are the ones who can change this planet. So because I want to bring, I try to bring some aspects in the book to try to inspire young readers and also like teenagers and also adults to be more kind with others, with our fellow ones, to have more compassion, to understand that we are the responsible ones as well. We have to take the responsibility for our lives, but also we have to take the responsibility for what is happening around us. You know, it's like it's our responsibility as well. So the book, the idea of the book and the story to inspire is like this, because it's also my desire to share, to give my part, and also to inspire others to do their part. Because if you realize, we are millions and millions and millions that can give our hands and make changes. The problem is that most of the people stay in their comfort zone and they don't want to touch, or they don't want to go out of the comfort zone to change their lives or to help others or to help the process that our planning needs urgently.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I love the way your characters, who are, you know, multicultural, from different religious backgrounds, just from every area of the world, how just the exchanges between the characters are just feel very genuine and are also very respectful of, you know, the other's tradition, point of view. You know, there's a real honoring and a coming together of all those traditions, and a real recognition that, you know, it's just kind of implied that they all really are come together in a similar way, that there's a similarity between all these perspectives, and yet, you know, it's just shown through their relationship with each other. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, in fact, it's like an important aspect from the book is this, that it's the multicultural aspect. Because, you know, I would like to show that it's possible to have union and harmony between the difference. You know, like, because I think it's very nice to be proud about our own background, but we have to understand, admire the difference, and also acceptance is very important. And it's time to say no to the prejudice, no to the violence, no to all these things. And how can we do this? Like giving our hands, like, and showing that it's possible, the union between the different, and respect the freedom.
Yes. Yeah. And it kind of pulls out the richness of each tradition, of each culture, and you know, there's so much to learn.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad about your comments. Yeah.
And just on that same theme about, you know, everybody coming from different places, all the characters coming from all these different places, a lot of them were also immigrants. Like Shanti is a teen from Mumbai who lives in Manhattan. And was that part of it too, like the experience of immigrants?
Yeah, I think it's the case in this book, like New York, like Shanti living in New York. I think I found New York such a great and democratic and multicultural city for the book to begin. So, and also I have been going to New York City since I was 16, and I know the city very well. And another aspect is like I am a travel addicted, and since we live in a globalized era, I decided to use different countries. I have traveled to around the world in this book. And also because to show like this multicultural thing, New York is a great city. Because like once you are walking on the streets in New York, you can see all the types, all the nationalities, all the types of cultures. It's a very, very multicultural and democratic. And also because it's a city that usually immigrants dream about. And like in the case of Shanti, she was a beautiful Indian girl living in Mumbai with lots of problems there. And then she moved to New York with many dreams, like to have a modern life, and to go to a great university, to do a great university, to have a new friend. So I think that's why New York is very important in as a place.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you talk about your imagination is just so strong through the book. The ways that each character is so tuned in to their own guidance and so tuned in to their own experience of connecting and following their guidance. You know, they're so sure in the messages they're getting and acting on those messages. How did that all come about? Do you have that experience of your own intuition and just that commitment to really following it and knowing that it's right?
I think it's basically I can talk about two points. One is the first is I enjoy so much writing because while in the process I travel in my own story as if I was a character from the book participating in all adventures. And so for me, the whole process of writing is fantastic because it disconnects me from real life, which pleases me a lot. And an important point is the process of writing itself, usually the people think that are like a rational process in the mind. From the mind, and for me, I think different than this. In my opinion, like the process in the mind, we have the ego, and we many times we are hostages from our fears. And I believe when we have fear, it's very difficult the creative process. So I think the three aspects for writing that we can call inspiration, creativity, and intuition, I think, in my opinion, they are not a rational process. They are something that we can reach once we are connected to a higher level of consciousness. So that's I usually become an always, I usually become more creative after my spiritual and meditation practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, kind of tuned into the whole there. Yes.
And so,
yeah, and for writing to really be good, you know, if it's going to be really compelling and engaging, it's really got to evoke that. Experiential quality, that quality of like being there. And you do such an incredible job of, you know, your characters are from all over the world. They're traveling all over the world. There are so many sequences where they're, you know, one character's in the pyramids, having an experience there through the in Peru, all those sacred sites in Peru. It really felt as a reader like I was standing in these places. You really did such a great job of evoking the I don't know. All I can say is the energy of the place and through your descriptions, just you know, I could see these places. Have you been to those places? Is that how you were able to describe it?
Yes, I think it's a very important point because I have been to all the places I mentioned it in the book because, you know, like I travel a lot. Since I was 13 years old, like I backpacking with my friends, like 15 years old, I already was in Europe backpacking with my friends as well. And so I have been traveling a lot and I am very interested about the diversity. I think our planet is so big and so beautiful. There are so many colors, cultures, tastes, and landscapes, and constructions, and cultures, and people, that it's like, it's amazing to try to experience the difference. And so, like, for this book, I traveled to all the places, and I did a big research, like in Peru, for example, I did a big research there, like with interviews, pictures, and I have been to all the sacred places. And also important thing, because I study as well. I studied sacred geometry, I studied mythology, some astrology, different subjects that could be involved and related in the sacred areas that I would suppose to visit, and also that places that are participating in the plot.
Yes. And did you also experience some of this through just your own kind of dreaming and visioning? Is that how you you pulled together some of this, you know, deep spiritual stuff?
Yeah. You know, like for me, it's very nice, the process, because I think there are like 3 points. Like, one point is, as I am an architect, I love to study urbanism, architecture, sacred sites, all this stuff theoretically. And so I go, I make research, I read in books. And the other aspect, I think it's the most important one, is intuition. And I am positive that I bring things and images and ideas from past lives.
Yes.
You know, like I have some things like that I can't like explain how I could have access to know how the designer was, how, you know. And so this came, all these things sometimes came through intuition, but I am positive that came from an ancient memory.
Yes.
From other lives, yeah.
Yes. Well, your descriptions of, for instance, the tunnel systems in South America, and the canals and the islands in ancient Atlantis were really amazing. Is that how that information came to you? And I imagine through some research too, huh?
Yeah, it was like both. Like, it was like I did a big research. I studied a lot, like, to write the book, because the book is an adventure, it's a mystical story, whatever. But like, there is like a heavy research and many different studies that I did. But also there is like a lot of intuition and ancient memories that we can call ancient memories.
Wonderful, wonderful. And in some sequences in the book, the characters kind of almost go into like a group dreaming, group dreaming experience where they all, you know, find their interconnection. I thought that was fascinating.
Oh, thank you a lot. Thanks a lot. It's a kind of extra body experience, right? They have a external body. Like they go out, they are soul.
Right,
and
astral,
they are,
right.
And they meet out of the physical body.
Yeah. I actually, you know, recently I've been feeling like that would be a very powerful practice to join in with others, you know, kind of intentionally. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there are cultures in the world that do this as a matter of course, that I'm just tapping into something that's been going on forever. but it feels like that could be such a powerful way to dream together as a group you know, create powerful intention and really call in the future in powerful ways.
Yes, to reach like a higher level of consciousness, because you know, like it's like the physical world, it's a manifestation of the seeds that we have planted in another level of consciousness, I think, in another dimension previously, no?
Yeah.
So, while like we are like improving our level of consciousness and we are more connected with our heart, and we start to say to our selfish desires, to say no to the selfish desires, to say no to the greed, and all these things that are destroying our planet. And we can find this, I think, to be in contact with our heart and to understand that we are here in, like in transit, right? And we are, like, in my opinion, spiritual beings having a physical experience. And we are here, like, to transform ourselves, to improve ourselves. And the most important part, I think, in my opinion, to get and to be able to change and to transform and to improve is to sharing with others, you know, sharing love, compassion, and understanding that we are all connected and we came from the same place. I think we are returning to the same place, but we are here to do a job, so we must go out of our comfort zone and start working.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, even just in this year 2015 that you know, I feel like we're really beginning to break free, and this is for me personally too, of, you know, like I just feel compelled to actually, you know, to be with people, you know, like go and be with people face to face, be with people. I've always wanted to connect, but I've been kind of reluctant about the face to face, you know, based on whatever, you know, my background, fears, whatever. And I just feel like such a push to connect with people face to face and really just kind of break through this, our conditioning of separate self and being afraid of people and all that old training, you know, that has been so instilled in us and is also used, you know, purposely to keep us separate and keep us, you know, fighting or disagreeing among ourselves while, you know, a lot of other things are going on.
It's perfect what you said. I think it's exactly this. Yeah, it's a whole process. No, we are here, like, to transform and to understand and to learn. Like, that's why we are here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here anymore.
And it's pretty simple and elegant, it feels like. You know, it's like, show up, be in your heart, be kind, you know, just encourage your own goodness, you know. That's where we really come from, and just allow it. You know, it doesn't have to be some, you know, stupendous feat or some, like, you know, multinational, you know, phenomenon. It can simply be just show up and be good, you know, because that's who we are anyway. Just be in your heart. Be who we are.
Yes. And I think, like, the heart is the key for the joy and the happiness. And people make confusion because, like, they are so attached in materialistic things. Like, they think, like, they are all connected in have things outside of them. And it's very sad because once they reach the next property, the next thing that they desired before, they are empty and sad again. And they are never filled up, you know, like so. And they have, it's difficult to understand, but we have to understand that our happiness is inside of us. And that's why we have to look inside of us and understand that we must do our job and we must try to transform day by day a bit.
Yes. Yes. And it sounds like you know that really, really personally. I mean, I think we all come to know that chasing the next thing or the next relationship or the next external shiny object, you know,
It
just ultimately is not satisfying. And that being in our hearts and being kind and good really, you know, does come from the inside, and we need to cultivate that toward ourselves, that being kind and being accepting and being loving and gentle with ourselves, you know, is a really important part of it, and then extending that to everyone, you know, it's
yeah,
it feels
brilliant.
Like it's almost
yeah.
like a breathing exercise, you know, the inside and the outside.
Yeah.
And
that's
the inside,
and
outside.
And the people must realize and, like, get trying to experience that all these things, external things, materialistic things, they are accessories. They are not final goal. The final goal is our happiness, is our joy. And we can't reach like happiness and the joy, like with materialistic things. And that's the point, you know? And I think there is a one point that I would like to, I discussed like many times, and that when you talk about fame or war, when we talk about power, we have to understand that fame, power, or money must be tools to help others, to help the planet, to share with. So then these tools can be welcome. But in the other hand, otherwise, they are not welcome because they won't bring happiness and, you know, plenty joy.
Right, and yet it's certainly possible to experience those things, and they can be, like you say, accessories to the experience of really our interconnection and the kindness and beloved community that Martin Luther King talked about. You know, really restoring the beloved community. You know, across the human cultures and also with our beautiful planet. And when we're coming from that place, then the accoutrements, the amenities, you know, fine, beautiful, no problem. But not, you know, those things over, like a competition for those things over
yeah.
top of, you know, a disconnection
yeah.
with our...
Yeah, that's it. You are absolutely right.
Yeah. So, Fernando, tell me, why did you decide to write this book in English? I mean, that just seems, I tell you,
oh, yes.
I think a very hard time writing a book in Portuguese, let me tell you that.
Yeah, I know. But in fact, like, you know, Sarah, I think the English is a fantastic bridge to spread my message and my thoughts. And as my story, my book is a multicultural story with different characters, with different backgrounds, different cultural backgrounds, different religions background, and also, of course, different nationalities. And the English would be like the best language to reach this audience, you know, and also because the book like is like a multicultural, and also there is many places and locations around the world. So English is a fantastic bridge to spread the message and the thought, my thoughts, because English is like the most globalized language, right? I don't have like to be honest, I don't have the pretension to be a native English speaker because I am not. You know, I am a Brazilian, an Italian Brazilian. I speak Portuguese. My native language is Portuguese, and I don't have the pretension to be a native English speaker. But English is a fantastic tool to express myself, to express to my message and my thoughts.
Interesting. I, you know, I'm just kind of imagining writing in another language, and I guess it would really, for me, I think it would really make me, I'd have to be so clear about what I'm trying to express to be able to do it well in a language that wasn't my first language.
No, yeah, it's true.
Yeah. And I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, English is, you know, certainly worldwide. You know, so many, even though people in the United States, you know, just kind of rely on English and don't really learn too many other languages, people all over the rest of the world are kind of required to learn English to, you know, to get along with, you know, economically and all the other ways with the English-speaking world.
So it really is
widespread.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And let me just, I had some other questions here, too. Let's see. What do you hope that readers learn from your book?
You know, especially I have the desire to inspire them. I wouldn't say like to nothing relating in teaching them. You know, I don't have the pretension to teach, but I would like to inspire them to be more kind with our fellow ones, with the animals, with the planet, with the nature, to be more calm, to understand that we are all brothers and sisters, and to understand that we have to say no to some kind of things, such as prejudice, say no to the prejudice, to be open, and to admire the freedom, and to admire the compassion, the nature, to admire the sun, the sunset, the sunrise, the animals around, all these stuff.
Yes. Yes. And in some of the sequences in the book, the characters have like a telepathic communication with various animals, and I just thought that was a wonder. I mean, you just bring in so many different pieces, and I just thought that was a wonderful one. Have you ever experienced that with an animal? Just that sense of really just full on communication.
No, not myself, not directly, but I have a friend that talks with the animals. And she's a very, very sweet woman, a very interesting woman. And in the shamanism, we read many stories about that, about the ones, the animals of which take care about ourselves and all these connections. So it's very inspiring. Antonio, the character, the boy, you know, the Italian resident, he's very connected with the animals, and I think with his love he can communicate with that. And also he has, like, some of them, they have their guardians, that they are the animals, and sometimes are the angels in the animal's body. And so. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all have that ability, actually. It's just, you know, it's kind of latent, or, you know, we haven't really developed it or gotten a lot of encouragement, you know, from a lot of our, our structures of learning don't really include telepathic communication with the animals.
Yeah,
but I think we can, I think we actually all really have the ability.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, you know, practice cultivating.
Yes, and also connected in a higher level of consciousness.
Yes.
No, because like the ego doesn't allow to get like the freedom, like he tried to control in whole aspect our lives. And so like to disconnect and to try to be out of our ego, I think through meditation and trying to reach higher levels, I think is a good idea.
Yeah. Allowing the ego to do, you know, the things it's good at, and appreciating it for, you know, keeping us from stepping in front of a bus, and, you know, the various important, you know, duties of the ego, but not allow, you know, not having it just be the ceiling on our consciousness or our ability to really connect, you know, in the broader way.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, when we are like completely under the control, the ego's control, like we can't experience like a different life. Like seems like that we are all always sleeping, and you know, like, and I think we are here like to wake up.
Yes, very much. Well, you know, it kind of brings in another piece for me, which is, you know, in the story, it's got, you know, kind of the whole good, the good and evil thing, the whole, you know, the black magicians and the way that they use sorcery and animal sacrifice and even, you know, are tapping into the powerful cycles of eclipses and all those things. And, you know, that kind of good and evil, you know, whole thing. And it kind of seems to me that, you know, when we're residing in our egos and we're kind of sleepwalking, like you're talking about, that's when we are most susceptible to all these messages of that we're separate from each other, that we should be afraid of each other, this whole illusion of separation and divide and conquer, and all the ways that, you know, those who seek to have power over human beings or seek to, you know, continue in kind of a, you know, people being enslaved to, you know, markets and various things, you know, that when we're in our ego like that, that's when we can most be controlled by that messaging. And
exactly.
That when we wake up and that we allow ourselves to experience ourselves beyond just our ego, then we start to see through, you know, the manipulations and the coercions and the, you know, the stuff that's been going on for a very long time.
Yeah, it's like that is exactly what the story talks about, right? It's like you describe it like what is behind this my story. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and how would you say that plays out in your story?
Yeah, I mean, when like there is like the fight between light and darkness, and the darkness is very strong because the people are disconnected, one for each other, and there is no union, and they don't know about themselves, and they don't respect themselves. And so they start, like, when the six teenagers, they start to know each other and they start to respect each other, they respect in some way to love each other and respect the difference. And when there is acceptation and they give their hands, they create a powerful camp of light. And this is to say, like, because, like, many people, we're like, if you see the world around, what can I say is, like, the minority is destroying the world.
Right.
It's not the majority, the minority.
No.
But the majority are sleeping. And so they are very easily manipulated, very easily. They are these people that we can call, like, the darkness, like the people that came here, like, only for selfish desires, the greed. They destroy florists and floras around the planet to sell paper, you know? And then they kill millions and millions and millions of the children, you know, to have money, to have petrol. And that's why, but they are not the majority. This is the good news. And so the problem is trying to do our share, the one who has more tools, who is more connected with these tools, to try to inspire the others, you know, because otherwise, like, you can't keep standing and doing nothing, like, you know, like, if you realize... My dog is back.
That's okay.
Sorry, I have four dogs in my home, yeah.
Well, I'm
that's
surprised
why,
we're not hearing more from
very,
them.
That's why I'm very well connected with the animals, and I talk with them.
Yes, exactly.
And so, and sorry about that. And that's the point. So I think, like, if you realize, like, the millions of teenagers, this young adult public, sometimes they stay in front of television, you know, like the whole day in the television, like jogging, like war games, and eating McDonald's. And so, you know, like, it's time, like, to try to inspire them, because I think they are the ones who will be able to change the things.
Yes.
And it's not like the majority that are destroying. I think the majority are sleeping.
Yes.
And so that's the good news is that it's time to wake up the ones who are sleeping.
Yes, and I feel like it's really happening. You know, kind of almost despite ourselves, you know, we're waking up. I mean, there's just such a current going on the planet that I think, you know, that a lot of people are waking up. You know, even if they didn't set out to do that, it's kind of happening anyway. And what I love about a story like yours is that when you speak to people from that place of knowing who they are and kind of tapping into these, you know, these sacred aspects of who we are as human beings, that everybody has a recognition, you know, that everybody goes, wow, you know, that feels familiar, that feels true.
Yeah,
and
that's
the point, you know, then becomes an ignition point.
Yeah, you get it. A very important point in the story, yeah. It was like my desire is this, like, to the people can recognize themselves there, you know.
Yes. Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Fernando, and for writing this wonderful book. And I just want to let people know again, you can find the book. The book is called Shanti and the Magic Mandala. You can find it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, online, and you can also purchase it through Fernando's website at FT, that's Fernando and T, whatever T stands for. And the last, and the then his last name is spelled CAMARGO.com. So thank you so much, Fernando. I'm going to be doing just a few announcements for Human Spirit Radio Network here. Thanks. And if you need to drop off the line and get on with your dogs and your life, then feel free.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. It was really amazing. And I hope you have a wonderful day. And may the light bless you always.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
And just for everyone else, just for you to know, this particular show is called Human Spirit Radio. And this show happens the third Friday of each month. My next show will be Friday, February 20th. And we also have other broadcasts on Human Spirit Radio Network. Our broadcasts are the first, the third, and the fourth Fridays of each month at 2 p.m. Pacific, and the third Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Pacific. And I am going to be having my debut broadcast of another show I'm going to do. It's going to be on January 31st. That's going to be the debut broadcast of the show that I'm calling Whole and Balanced, Energy Medicine and Your Health. And it's going to be on Saturday, January 31st at 10 a.m. Pacific. And it's all going to be about cutting-edge science and physics and just the whole idea and reality of everything is energy and how that's influencing global health care, shifting the paradigm to incorporate that information, that living systems really have an intelligence far beyond the mere mechanics. And we'll be going into all sorts of aspects about energy medicine with a lot of really practical information. And each show will also include some live clearings. So if you'd like to be there live, you could receive a clearing if you'd like to do that. So all of our broadcasts, like I said, first, third, and fourth Fridays of each month at 2 p.m. The first Friday of each month is Waking Gods and Goddesses, Embodying Divine Wisdom in the Sensual Life with host Maria West. She's starting a new 15-month series that's based on her her book that's just been published called Effed Wide Open, and she's going into a lot of depth with her book. It's really great. The third Wednesday of each month at 6 p.m. Pacific is You're Already Psychic, Tools to Strengthen Your Intuition, Follow Your Divine Guidance, and Live a Joy-Filled Life with Jessica McKay. And the third Friday of each month is this show, Human Spirit Radio. Fourth Friday of each month at 2 p.m., Stories of the Sacred Feminine Archetypes with host Amanda Eloesh Johnson. Amanda is starting a new series, 12 months, that is beginning in January, so this is next Friday. And she'll be sharing and exploring the myths and true stories of direct communion and embodiment with the 13 sacred feminine archetypes. Really beautiful show she does. So all of our broadcasts are archived for your listening convenience. You can peruse past broadcasts or listen to a specific show by going to humanspiritradio.com and clicking the audio archives header and then scrolling down and selecting an episode. You can also subscribe to the broadcast free through iTunes, and you can receive a beautiful email announcement just a few times a month of upcoming broadcasts by joining our list. And you can do that by going to humanspiritradio.com. If you enjoy our free and commercial-free broadcasts and want to share your appreciation, feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Human Spirit Sing is our Twitter handle. And if you would also like to make a monetary donation, we'd be happy to have you do that. You can do that through our website. Human Spirit Radio is now a vibrant worldwide community thanks to you, and we really appreciate our listeners. So Thank you, Jessica McKay, for being here and engineering the show today. Thank you again, Fernando. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And if you like what we're doing, please invite your friends. You know, the more the merrier. This is meant to be really a like-minded affinity throughout the globe, and there's a lot of good information. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.